And we're back. Welcome to Anger, Sadness, and Envy, the Rampancy.net podcast. I'm the webmaster of Rampancy.net, Narcogen, and I'm here with Blackstar of Blackstar Productions.
Hi, how's it going?
And we're going to look at the two most recent releases from Bungie, revelations about Reach. We've got the Red vs. Blue video, Deja Vu, which shows the remake of Blood Gulch, which is called Hemorrhage. And most recently, just yesterday, the Vidoc number 3 for Reach called Forge World, about a special map made just for Forge and the new Forge features for Halo Reach. So let's just dig in right in here and start off with Deja Vu. Yeah, blood and violence, both blood and violence.
Well, that's the good stuff. I wonder if parents really know what rooster teeth means.
Okay, so what they start off in the Halo 3 engine with the red team near the water in Valhalla, which I have to admit is still one of my favorite Halo 3 maps because it was in the beta.
What? I never actually got a chance to try that one, to tell you the truth. I really wish. Strangely enough, I never got a chance to try it in the beta. I wasn't in the beta.
It was. You weren't. Wait a minute. Yeah, you were.
Was I?
You weren't in the Halo 3 beta? Yes, you were. My favorite games were games of shotties and snipers on Valhalla, I think.
I had a lot of alcohol since then. It's been so long.
Simmons, we're going home. The war is over.
It is?
Yes. Didn't you hear the message?
Well, in typical RVB style, though, we get a chance to see the characters. And, oh, what do you know?
Okay, so right.
In the vehicle.
So they drop in the Hornet. And, of course, from the first shot, you can tell that it's a Hornet. And then they crop it pretty tight later on to the... You can't quite see that it's a different vehicle, but I mean, it's obvious when we go to the next sequence that it's the Falcon, it's the vehicle from Halo 3. I'm assuming that there are no Hornets in Reach.
Well, that I assume too. It could have been that they were also asked not to, but I mean, considering the timing, I think it would be pretty much safe to say if they're still using rotary craft before, then yeah, you wouldn't have something as advanced as the Hornet in Reach.
Some kind of way station?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm actually amazed. I don't want to be one of those guys who are like grunting about graphics or something, but I think the first thing that struck me is that when you compare the differences between, say, Halo 1 and 2 and Halo 2 and 3, the difference between 3 and Reach is not quite as dramatic.
Well, yeah, it doesn't seem as radical to me, and their particular design of the Forerunner bases and equipment and style of architecture has been pretty consistent throughout, so there's nothing that jumps out at you that says, guess what, we're in a whole new environment with a whole new level of detail and rendering stuff. But when you see the close-up on the armor and the characters, you actually get a chance to see that it is quite ramped up, but just not to the same degree, I think.
Right, but you can't see the detail in gameplay. I mean, you can if you replay your saved films, you can. The other thing,
or you get close-ups on the camera, yeah. But other than that, as things are moving along as they do, no. What you do see is that the first time you actually see character interactions with an assassination, though, you know you're in a whole other ball of wax, because that kind of level of detail and motion capture we've never seen before in any Bungie game, so that was kind of a good introduction.
Right. The other thing I noticed, though, is that while they've obviously got weapon lowering, at least in local games on this, doing the weapon lower causes the left arm to intersect the torso.
Yes,
it all looks like they've got kind of shriveled left arms. You know, like their right arm is this big beefy thing, and the left arm is tucked in so tightly it looks like it's withered, or they've got leprosy or something.
Oh, I did notice, actually, when they were doing the tour of the environment, you actually get a chance to see some grass hanging out in the water. And I could see what they were trying to do, but it looks like somebody just accidentally placed it there rather than it being grass that you would normally see wet. It wasn't behaving any differently than grass right next to it on the ground, so
Well, a lot more decorators in general.
Yeah. Oh, very much so.
Okay. And they show off the armor lock, but also the hologram.
I kind of wonder
that's a layer of complexity that, you know, I don't know. Halo tends to, I mean, Halo is not the fastest moving game out there, but it still moves plenty fast. And I just see all these ideas of people saying, okay, I'm going to hide behind this rock, and then I'm going to distract people with the hologram.
Yeah, and having time to do it.
I don't know that that's actually going to work very well. That's the one armor ability that I'm really suspicious of at this point, whether that's going to be effective.
You can tell that they're fans of Total Recall, because, I mean, the scene out of the movie is exactly just like this. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting addition. And as far as a revealing aspect of where they were actually taking armor abilities, it's definitely the most unique one I've seen in any of the Halo games.
Okay. Here's Sarge flying away with the jetpack, carrying a flag, which we understand will be an option within custom games anyway, to allow people driving vehicles and therefore using the jetpack also to have the flag.
Now, here's the scene I love, which is a serious nod to one of the earlier Bungie films.
Right,
you remember the original 1990 release,
video.
The Macworld release.
I tried to look in the HBO forum for the poster who first noticed that, and I couldn't find it. Do you remember who that was?
No, I don't. But yeah, it was screaming at me for the first time I saw it. And at the end of it, though, which is really subtle, you see a cannon blast explosion?
Right. There's a tank way in the distance who fires at that location, and it takes several seconds for the round to arrive, which is something also that people noticed. The thing
they wanted
I wondered,
to give a live depth of field, I think, to give you an idea of how huge this is.
It's obviously a very nicely rendered artistic adaptation of Blood Gulch and or coagulation. The thing I wonder, though, is that since they've expanded the area, the cliffs area around it, and made that playable, I mean, in Blood Gulch, there were always these few, two or three spots where you could get to, you could get a Banshee and you could climb up and you could let the Banshee fall off and you'd have yourself a nice sniper perch. But this level, I think, is going to be all sniper perches all the way around the sides. I really wonder how this may play very differently from Blood Gulch, even though it looks a lot like Blood Gulch.
Reaching out and touching someone is going to be a lot different, absolutely. And whether or not people are going to be able to respond is a whole other thing. I love the title Hemorrhage. That was kind of interesting, though. I'm glad they didn't call it like Heavy Days or something.
Jeez. And anyway, there is a Halo in the skybox. No, Reach is not going to Halo.
Yep, very much so. I'm surprised that Reach toothbrushes haven't jumped up as being Italian either. The other thing that you get a chance to see, which was really interesting, was some Forerunner equipment in the background, which of course was never in the original or the remake in Halo 1 or Halo 2.
No, it was much more like Valhalla, actually.
It looks like a homogeneous adaptation of both of those. And when you get a chance to hear some information in the other videos where Bungie describes where the whole idea behind this actually came about, was the addition of all these separate maps that they literally coagulated into one, where now suddenly we're at this big, giant, huge, huge environment that is big enough to literally have entire other games going on. It is that big. Now, the only thing that I was curious about is whether or not the reception is going to be as epic, because I can remember the biggest map in the Mac PC version of Halo CE, edition. No, actually, the biggest one was Infinity. And I don't know how much
Halo PC
version. And that one was, literally it took you forever to get from one side to the other.
I like that map, though.
Double figure eight. I do, too. But without the teleporters in the middle to jump you in between things, literally, it would to walk or to use a vehicle does take a good stretch of time. And I'm curious as to how that compares with what this one's going to be.
Well, but as I understand it, how big this map is nothing compared to how big the next map is. Of course, the even bigger revelation, the Red versus Blue video, of course, was a nice, cute little thing, and it intros the fact that, yes, they're bringing this classic map back, but it's nothing, really, to what Bungie reveals in the Forge World video in terms of what the Forge World map will offer and also what the new Forge features in Halo Reach offer. So let's cue that one up. You ready?
I am loading.
Okay.
More blood, more violence.
Yeah, more blood and violence.
Can't just get enough. And here we get the epic standard Halo shot of the ring coming up.
I was like, oh, hey, cool, that's... Oh, holy, you guys did what?
We get a shot of Tyson, nicknamed Ferex Green, of course, who was one of the progenitors of Rampancy.net. And now
I love the library.
Has worked for several years with Bungie. That's crazy, we can't do that. Unfairly blamed for the library.
Lovely cinematic pans. Actually, beautiful, beautiful scenery. In fact, it reminds me a lot of some of the levels in Halo 3 as far as the lighting styles and everything. But here you get a chance to see them actually constructing a base amidst that.
Right, so now we're seeing this huge variety of building blocks in the Forerunner architectural style to build large bases and racetracks. I mean, the kinds of things that people did do in Halo 3, but had to do rather painstakingly from elements not really intended for that.
And then you get this long vehicle shot where the vehicles are so tiny they look like specks. This overshadowing Forerunner structure hanging on this mountain cliff. Just, oh, it's absolutely stunning.
Yeah. So this map apparently includes at least partially what is in the Hemorrhage map, but then several other areas as well.
All together. And you get a chance to see the building blocks, the pieces that they actually have to put together. And here you actually get a chance to see for the first time from the HUD view of you actually flying the Falcon. Which is interesting because you get a chance to see how they have that displayed on screen.
I'm kind of hoping that the Falcon controls in a way that is better than the Halo 2 Banshee or the Halo 3 Hornet.
I think it's a little more standard. I think it would be more Hornet-like, to tell you the truth. I mean, they're very, very similar vehicles, and I think how the display is going to be for that. But here you actually get a chance to see also several other, you know, Bungie maps from the original
right,
Halo
right.
2.
This, this column of stone that they built Ascension out of. And so now that looks so like something really interesting to make maps out of.
And the also the added extra options for assembling these things all together. You see them merging them within a mountain. You see them setting up entire ramps up and down cliffs and rocks hanging out over this big, huge valley, and being able to run things symmetrically around a circle, which is kind of neat. So you can actually rotate these things to connect them a lot easier than you would before.
Right. So now they're showing some of the things like the Mongoose Racetrack map that was built in Halo 3 and some of the Forge art. There's the Forge Dragon and some of the Rube Goldberg machines.
Oh, they're all
and
those are wild.
The amount of patience required to set these elements that way, to get things to hang in space unsupported and to get things aligned was really incredible and
epic.
I think this version, where it doesn't have a lot of those weaknesses, is going to open Forge up for a lot more people. On the other hand, I think it probably means that, you know, the average quality, you know, because the, you know, you'd have to be very talented to put up with all the things that that Halo 3 Forge makes you put up with. This is going to be really easy, so lots of people can do it. So I think what we'll probably get is we'll probably get a lot of maps, like maps that I would make, which are not very good, but I can do it, so I will, you know.
To be honest, the major caveat I think would have been fixed in doing any of this thing was having a mouse and a keyboard control. I really, really do.
You know, it also struck me. I was also looking at this and saying, okay, great. The fixed and the phased, so now you can lock items in place and you can have them intersect. You can align them and you can rotate them. And all I'm thinking looking at that is that, wow, now if I only had a mouse for the 360, it would be perfect.
Pretty much. I mean, I look at what they're actually doing, and I'm imagining what the 360 controller would be like. And the other addition,
you can use a USB keyboard on the 360. It would be useful even just to be able to use a keyboard for this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For hotkeys or for switching around between different modes or for
Bungie, please,
locking.
Keyboard support for Reach Forge. Okay, so now they're showing multiple item deletion, deleting everything of a single type.
Yes,
you know, something that makes things a lot faster.
Yeah, rather than individual. I can't imagine having to say, okay, we're changing all the spawn points and having to go after them one at a time.
Custom colors are nice, but I always have a problem. I always find that the coloring on team items in all the Halo games has been far too subtle.
Yeah, it is.
Everything is
subtle.
Mostly gray with little. Okay, and this scene I thought was also very interesting. It shows the screen tilting as if the gravity. I'm not sure whether the gravity is different or whether the item is at an angle. I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Or the item's actually moving. It's hard to tell from the camera position. You actually get a chance to see the new Rocket Hog for a bit, too. That was kind of wild.
And also the fact that you can make a vehicle, you can tag a vehicle as an objective.
We are shipping maps on the
for at least Flag and King of, for at least, well, I don't know about Flag, but at least for King of the Hill type games. What Ferex did say in his Q&A is that you can't do it for Bomb. Because somebody asked, can you make a Warthog a bomb? And they said no. Apparently, a bomb is still a bomb. You can put it wherever you want, but you can't tell it to appear as a warthog.
It's too bad you can't throw it in the warthog and have it actually stay in the seats like you normally would in a real vehicle.
Passed around to a lot of people, and that makes the really sweet stuff bubble up to the top. I'm looking forward to what the next big.
As we're seeing here, wow! You know that almost looked like a scene outside of Labyrinth, where you were actually using another dimension.
Strange and disorienting game spaces that look like 5D space in Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
new.
And apparently the Forge budgets are going to be very, very large. Ferrix also said that everything that's shown in this video and everything that they're shipping with the game that they built in Forge is well within the budgets.
That's good. Because apparently, with these epic maps, you don't know how much you'll even be able to manipulate or add to it because they're so big.
Yeah, and if you add multiple variations of the same item, I think they don't all count against the budget. At least that's how I read his answer to this.
Excellent. That's excellent to hear. I'm sure all the map makers out there who have been absolutely drooling over seeing all these new advancements are dying to get their hands on it and create new materials.
Okay, so yeah, over at HBO is the question and answer with Ferrix. Some great information in there. Some things that I pulled out is that there's no undo key. So if you do something you didn't want to do, you can't undo it. And Ferrix apologizes for that, but he says that even their own map authoring tools don't have an undo key. They're internal tools.
Well, we got to find out who to blame for that one, so Ferrix can take some less heat on the library.
Yeah, a lot of people were speculating, Reach is going to bring Forge mode to campaign, or Reach is going to bring Forge mode to firefight. He specifically said that it's not in firefight, that they wanted to do a firefight version of Forge, but that they couldn't do it. And although he didn't specifically mention it, I'm assuming that also means no Forge campaign. That would be I would really have loved to see the ability to create, even in smaller areas, custom campaign encounters by placing AI items, like what people did with making their own marathon scenarios. I would have loved to see that.
That would have been wild. That would have been wild.
But
to see.
But it looks like they didn't manage to achieve that. It's too bad. But
they ran out of time.
It still looks like this is going to be a lot of fun.
Phased objects, they say, also they stay where you put it, which is nice because I know that assembling of objects on different things, especially considering how they're designed and the cumbersomeness of the controller itself, can be horrible. Then trying to mix these things together, every time these Goldberg device videos come out, I am absolutely amazed that somebody has the patience to put that together using the limited and awkwardness of just the Xbox 360 controller and what the original Forge allowed you to do. And if people have the ambition that they do, any of the new stuff that comes out is really just going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing some more of those.
Right. And that allows you to create new building blocks out of the existing pieces, which you couldn't have before. I mean, for instance, they just give you a flat wall. What if you wanted to create a piece that was like a cross piece, an X-shaped cross piece? If that didn't exist in the budget, you couldn't really create it. But now you can just take two wall pieces, orient them at 90 degrees to each other and have them intersect. And now you've got an intersection.
Someone had actually posted a question about audio and visual effects associated with the monitor. For example, light zinging noise and things like that. And as the picture, does it show in the update as it implies, giving you a glow that extends from the monitor itself? It's interesting that people are so interested in the details of just the monitor as opposed to
wants to role play as 343 Guilty Spark.
Well, 343 has his fans just like everyone else. I was always a big fan of him personally. I know that there are many people out there that are the exact opposite, that hated him from the get-go. I always thought he was a very misunderstood character. I thought he deserved a little bit more appreciation. But I just find it funny that of all the possible questions that people have about a Forge, it's like, of the monitor, can we get the zinging noise and the light movements?
It's probably somebody who wants to do machinima. Awesome.
Could be. I wouldn't be surprised. And if that's another big thing. I mean, if you think of all the options that people have now for machinima videos, and you saw some of the things that they did very, very quickly inside Red versus Blue, how that's going to evolve as well, because now they have such an incredibly large environment to work with and much greater flexibility with what you can put into it rather than just regular campaign levels or regular multiplayer levels. I mean, that's going to add a whole new dimension to people making videos.
Right. So I know that we said this when Halo 3 came out, that we'd be definitely looking forward to Forge. And then, unfortunately for me, at least, I was disappointed that my level of patience was not up to being able to do some of the things in Forge that other people did, and hopefully this will open it up for a lot of other people, and I'll be able to give it another go myself. I think maybe Bungie really kind of only intended it to be for changing weapon spawns and dropping in a few crates and making some minor modifications to existing maps and not being as ambitious with it as people became. But it looks like they've really taken up the challenge there and delivered something that's a lot more powerful.
Mm. One thing I was kind of disappointed to hear, though, unfortunately, was that they couldn't increase the player cap. I guess 8 players is the maximum you can have in Forge due to network configuration.
For me, actually, I think that's the border of being fun for Halo multiplayer as well. I know a lot of people, you know, they loved 16-player games and they wanted to see Halo move to 32 or 64. But I find that 4v4 is kind of a sweet spot.
I remember back from the day when Halo 2 came out and everyone and their cousin was dying for the Xbox Live integration, where, you know, for the longest time we had gotten away with hacked versions of tunnel programs to allow Halo 1 players to play. And you were lucky if you could get one or two people in a room, and then suddenly you were able to get 16, and everyone was they were all thrilled about it. And the greatest fun I can remember back in the day was getting 8 people in a party and doing epic big team battles on the biggest maps that we could find. And those were some of the most, you know, fun that I had in multiplayer. So that when the Forge came out, yeah, now you have this element where you can create your own environment. But having that cap down to 8 again, yeah, it was kind of a bummer. I was just hoping that in you know, the updated events, they were able to change that to add in a feature for more. So it was a little disappointing that you couldn't get beyond 8, but apparently the limitations of the networking and overhead for editing, chops it down from what Ferrick said.
Well, anyway, there's lots of stuff to look forward to in Reach, and that just about does it for this episode. We'll see you next time on Anger, Sadness, and Envy, the RampantSea.net podcast.